Good to see everyone here today. Before we get started, there is one additional announcement, and that is the lodge here has asked us to vacate the hall, be cleaned up by 2 o'clock today. They have a function later on this afternoon, so if we can go ahead and kind of keep that in mind, if we'll have everything cleaned up and be gone. Their names are Delbert and Linda. They lived on the same block, just a few houses down from each other. And I don't know what started it or what caused it, and I'm not sure who or if anyone knows what caused it or what started it, but the argument started between the two of them, Delbert and Linda. They couldn't get along with each other. They couldn't have pleasant words towards each other. And it escalated so that every time they walked by each other's house, they had to say something negative towards each other. Then they got where they were yelling at each other and cursing at each other. And the neighbors got involved. And the neighbors started taking sides. It escalated to the point where they were incorporating local media venues to try and have people influenced to gather around on their side and have people supporting them. The local small town newspaper got involved and started running weekly updates on the argument and the conflict between the two. It got to where the people in the community were writing letters to the editor and to the newspaper, getting involved in the argument back and forth. There was people that had never met each other ever before were arguing and accusing each other of different things, lying and doing this, not doing that, and they had never even met each other in this conflict between Delbert and Linda. Finally, Linda said one day, if you do this, and I don't even remember what it was, but if you do this or you don't do that, I'm packing all my stuff up, selling my house, and moving away. And that's exactly what she did. She packed up and moved away. Unfortunately, Linda and Delbert, even though she moved away, they still were Linda and Delbert, and their problem stayed with them. Well, this is not unique. Conflict is all around us. All we have to do is look at the news. We see conflict in the nations. We see conflict in our communities. We see acts of terrorism. We see wars between Jews and Arabs. We see wars between different nationalities and different people. Conflict is all around us. It's all around the world. It's in our neighborhood. Sometimes we see it in our families. Sometimes we see it in our work, and even at church at times there is conflict. God doesn't like conflict. In the Old West, we might remember that the Colt 45 was called and known as the peacemaker, because it would make peace. If there was a conflict, they could use the Colt 45 and do away with someone, and then they would have peace, so to speak. But shooting someone and killing them may have been a common thing back in those times, but that certainly is a strange way to have peace or think about peace. And if we were the one that was getting shot or shot at, would we think of that as being peaceful? Certainly not. Well, in the world that we live in today, it seems that the world is on fire. And I often make that comment. Our world is on fire with conflict. Everywhere we turn is war and difficulties. Isaiah wrote, "The way of peace they have not known, but there is a better way." And we're going to look at that today. Today we're going to review the importance of being a peacemaker and what our role should be in being peacemakers. Let's take a moment to look and talk about what is a peacemaker. And this word peace, Vine's Expository Dictionary tells us, it comes from a word spelled E-I-R-E-N-E. And it describes harmonious relationships between man, between nations, in the churches, the harmonized relationships between God and man accomplished through the gospel, it goes on to say. It goes on to say to be at peace with each other and with all men, to make peace, to be peaceable. Turn with me, if you would, over to the book of Romans. When we think about what it means to be a peacemaker, let's look at this concept here. Romans 15, we're going to read verse 33 today, Romans 15, verse 33. And I have a really, really old Bible here, and so over the years, the pages on my Bible have shrunk. So pardon me as I use a little help to read the words here. Romans 15, verse 33. And now the God of peace be with you. Amen. The God of peace. This is one of God's titles. The God of peace. Turn with me one page over to chapter 16. And we'll read verse 20. And the God of peace once again will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. So this is one of God's titles. We also see, we don't need to turn there, but in Isaiah 9 states, and his, and that is Christ's name, will be called the Prince of Peace. So we see that as one of Christ's titles also. The Lord of Peace is mentioned in 2 Thessalonians. We could go on and on of examples of God's title being called the God of Peace or the Lord of Peace or Christ the Prince of Peace. We think about peace, we have to stop and say, well, what would be the opposite of peace? Well, that certainly would be the word conflict. Vines tells us in reference to the word conflict that it's a contest against spiritual foes as well as human adversaries, a struggle, a fight, conflict. Well, we can come up with and state many different reasons for conflict, but let's just think about a few of them. Reasons or causes of conflict. We can think of different personalities conflict with each other. Maybe some of you have had or encountered someone at work or wherever, and their personality just clashed with yours. Someone maybe that was always very competitive and competed with other people in everything that they did. Certainly jealousy would be a reason for conflict. Jealousy. Greed. Maybe a different set of values. If you had a different set of values, maybe you were a thief and you went around stealing from people. That could create conflict. A different set of values, a different way of thinking. Politics can create conflict. We've seen that every time an election comes around. We see traditionalists against progressives. We see liberals against conservatives. And everything in between, we see conflict. Well, let's see what the Bible says are some causes of conflict and some causes of peace. Turn with me over to the book of James. We're going to read starting in chapter 3. Causes of conflict, verse 14. James 3, verse 14. But if you have bitter envy, self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. So we see some reasons for conflict. Let's drop down to chapter 4 and verse 1 when we're talking about conflict. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? So we see reasons for conflict. If we go back up to chapter 3 here in the book of James and read verse 17, we see some of the reasons for peace that God lays out here. Chapter 3, verse 17, just a few verses up. Verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. So we see the difference. We see causes of conflict. We see causes of peace. along that same line or along that same way of thinking, there are impediments or hindrances to being a peacemaker. And we've seen that we should be peacemakers. So what are some things that can keep us from being peacemakers as we should be? Selfishness, trying to be selfish, fear of acknowledging that we've done something wrong. We haven't done everything right. Self-justification. I haven't done something right. I'm certainly not going to admit to it. Greed. Striving for power over others. Striving to put others down. Striving for control. Those are all impediments to being a peacemaker, not a peaceful situation. Certainly Satan's influence can be an impediment to being a peacemaker. How about vengeance? When something has gone on or someone has wronged you or someone has wronged me, the act of vengeance, feeling like I need to get back at that person. I just can't let this wrong go. I must correct this wrong. Erwin Lutzer, in his book titled When You've Been Wrong, puts it this way. He says that vengeance is like drinking poison and hoping your enemy is going to die from you drinking the poison. And that's the way vengeance is. That's how vengeance acts. That's how vengeance affects us. It's poison to us. Certainly a hindrance to being a peacemaker. Anger. I once had a cousin's son come to me and say, I just have this bad temper. My temper is, I just have a short fuse. And that was his excuse. Everything was okay if he had an excuse. It was okay for him to be angry and upset as long as he said, well, it's just me. I have a short temper. And I said to him, you know, anger is a choice. It's a choice that you make. You can choose to be angry. And we can also choose to be a peacemaker. One of the biggest impediments to being a peacemaker is our pride. Pride is one of the biggest stumbling blocks that we as human beings have. We can't say that we're sorry. We just can't forgive people because of our pride. Wars are fought over pride, and nothing more than that, just pride. Proverbs 16 tells us that pride comes before destruction. And Proverbs 29 tells us that a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Pride, a huge impediment to being a peacemaker. We should root out and overcome our thoughts of pride. Well, we've looked at what being a peacemaker is, and we've looked at impediments or hindrances to being a peacemaker. Let's ask ourselves the question, how important is it to be a peacemaker? Is it really that important that I'm a peacemaker? Why should I be a peacemaker? Let's turn over to the book of Matthew, to the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5. We're going to look at some verses here in Matthew 5. And just to set the stage, let's start out here in verse 1, Matthew 5. And seeing the multitudes, he, this is Christ, went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, and went on saying, well, this is Christ's teaching here, very important. My margin says, this is the heart and core of the New Testament. And we think about this, and we call these verses the Beatitudes. If we look at them, this is really a gospel message. This is a kingdom message. Christ is teaching us about the kingdom, about his gospel, pointing us to a time in the future. A kingdom message. Let's just briefly touch on some of these verses as we go down here, and we'll see this is a kingdom message. Verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Christ is pointing us towards the kingdom of heaven. Verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. A gospel message. This is what we should be looking forward to, what we should be working towards. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And when shall they be filled? The world will be filled with His righteousness in His kingdom. Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. They shall see God, a kingdom, a gospel message. That brings us to verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And we all want to be sons of God in God's family. That would be His kingdom. If we look at this verse here, this word blessed can be translated, and Vines tells us that it can be translated happy. Happy are the peacemakers, and we all want to be happy. We all want to be sons of God. We all want to be in His kingdom. This is how important it is. Peacemakers is a word for those that make peace. So that is an action word. Matthew 5 and verse 9 that we just read here in the New Living Translation states that God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. This doesn't say blessed are the peaceable or blessed those that love peace. Everyone loves peace, but this is blessed are those who work for peace, who actively seek to resolve conflict. So this means there's effort here. It's an active word. We have a job to do. How important is it? Very important. A peacemaker is an active word. It's just not that it lacks conflict. It's an active person. Christians must do everything that they can to mend broken relationships. That's what this verse is talking about. A Christian must take the initiative to make peace. If we go and turn over to the next chapter in Matthew 5, is it an example that we often refer to? Matthew 5, verse 23. Matthew 5, verse 23. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there, and you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar. Go your way first. Be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. Now, I've heard this verse read to me many, many, many times, but it wasn't until recently that I realized and read this verse in a little different way. Because this doesn't say if I have a problem with my brother. This says if my brother has a problem with me, I'm to go to my brother. And that's a little different way. That means I have a job to do. I have a problem with my brother. Not that my brother has a problem with me. That's his problem. No, if my brother has a problem with me, it's now my problem. And that's what this verse is talking about, being a peacemaker. Romans 14, we don't need to turn there, but it says in verse 19, therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace, and the things by which one might edify one another. And throughout the Bible, this is a recurring theme, that we pursue the things which make for peace. 1 Corinthians 14, we don't need to turn there. Well, let's go ahead and turn there to this verse. This was a verse that Mr. Veller mentioned in a message he sent out yesterday. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 14. We're going to read verse 33. This was mentioned by Mr. Veller. We're going to emphasize it today. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. God is the author of peace. How important is it? Very important. Turn with me over to the book of Galatians. When we think of how we are to act, when we think of conflict, when we think of peace, this is something I think that certainly we should be reading. Galatians 5, a very familiar scripture. Galatians used to be in my Bible here. Galatians 5, we're going to read verse 19. When we think of conflict, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, we've mentioned this already, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, verse 21, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. A kingdom message. The message of being a peacemaker is a kingdom message, a gospel message. When we think of being a peacemaker, let's continue to read in verse 22. How important is it to be a peacemaker? Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, there it is, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. How important is it? Very important. It's not only important, it's our obligation that we're peacemakers. Well, we've seen that it's important, so what can we do to please or to become peacemakers? I think the first thing that needs to be on our list would be we need to please God. To be a peacemaker, we need to be pleasing God. Turn with me over to the book of Proverbs, chapter 16. What can we do to be peacemakers? We're going to read verse 7 today. Proverbs 16, verse 7. What can we do to become peacemakers? Verse 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. So I think when we ask ourselves, how can we become peacemakers? This is where we must start. We must start by pleasing God and living His way of life. If we're having a conflict with someone, we should start here by pleasing God. We should talk to God before talking to the other person. We should seek God's help. True reconciliation is God's work, and it's not easy, but it is something that we must do. What are some ways that we can become peacemakers? And I have a note here that says some points of peace. Very important. Before we have a conflict, what should we do? One way is, turn with me over to the book of Philippians, one of my favorite books. What can we do to become peacemakers? Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Philippians 2, verse 1. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, in any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same mind, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. And I want to emphasize verse 3 here. When we think of becoming peacemakers, this is what we do before we have a conflict. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Now, as a youngster growing up in the church, I used to read and hear this verse, and it was very difficult for me to understand. What does this mean? Esteem others better than myself. Does that mean that I'm supposed to think everything they think is better than what I think? No, that's not what it means. So I was confused. To help us understand this verse, let's substitute the word treat for esteem. Okay? Let's treat others better than ourselves. And if we fill that word in, treat, in place of esteem, we can get a little better understanding. Well, what does that mean? That means politeness. That means thoughtfulness. That means doing little things to avoid conflict. Being thoughtful of the other person. Not selfish. Being thoughtful of the other person. This helps us to avoid conflict. We should avoid issues and think about issues that might be a sore spot for the other person. Another word for that would be being sensitive to others' feelings. That's what this verse is talking about. Being sensitive to someone else's beliefs. We see many examples of this throughout the Bible. We don't need to turn there, but we're familiar with examples of meat being offered to idols. And Paul stating and talking about, if that's going to offend your brother, don't even eat meat in front of him. Okay? And that's what this verse is talking about here. Being sensitive to their feelings and their beliefs. We might think, well, he's wrong. I don't care what he thinks. Well, that's not what this verse is talking about. Be sensitive to what other people think. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 7, turn with me over and we'll look over to here and we'll look at another point. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 7. Let's see, we need to move on here. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 7. How can we become peacemakers? Now therefore, is it already another failure for you that you go to law against one another? Why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourselves be defrauded? There's nothing wrong with accepting a little wrong if it will bring peace. And what does that mean? That means I don't have to have my way all the time, even though I think I'm right. Well, I can accept somebody else's way. You can accept somebody else's way if they think they're right. Accept a little wrong. We don't have to have our way all the time. We have to have the will to be a peacemaker. We have to want to. That comes from understanding the need to be a peacemaker. We need to sympathize with other people's problems, with other people's issues. We need to go out of our way to try and cooperate with each other. Well, are there some other ways that we should become peacemakers? How about forgiveness? Forgiveness is a tough one. Years ago, I thought, well, I can forgive anybody that has a problem. And well, if someone got in my way or did whatever, I didn't have a problem forgiving them. But then something happened one time years ago, and I realized that I didn't even really know what the word forgiveness meant, because it was so deep down in that I struggled to forgive in this situation. And then I learned a little more what it really means to forgive someone. A very, very important concept of being a peacemaker. In the example prayer in Matthew 6, God tells us that if we forgive others, He will forgive us also. And really, we can't have peace without forgiving other people. Another key point to being a peacemaker is that we must approach the situation, the conflict, with humility. We must be humble before God. We must be humble before our adversary so that we can have peace. Something else that when we think about being a peacemaker, before we can have peace or before we can be a peacemaker, we must have peace of mind. Let's turn over to the book of John. We'll look at this concept. John 14. How do we become peacemakers? We must have peace of mind. That must be a starting point. John 14, verse 27. Verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We must have peace of mind through Christ our Savior. Let's turn over one page to John 16. We'll read verse 33. When we think about peace of mind, verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me, that's Christ, you may have peace. In Christ we might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. You have conflict. But be of good cheer. I will have overcome the world. Peace of mind through Christ. That inner peace that we must have. If we have that inner peace, we will be peacemakers. Hebrews 13 teaches us to be content with where we find ourselves, in whatever situation we find ourselves. And it comes from living God's way of life. We can have peace of mind in whatever trial, whatever condition that we face, if we are following God in His way of life. We must have or be at peace with ourselves before we can have peace with one another. Being at peace even through the most difficult trials, this is truly peace of mind. When we think about becoming a peacemaker, we should also have the attitude of being grateful. For thanksgiving lends itself to having this peace of mind. Let's turn back over to the book of Philippians. When we think about being grateful, grateful for what we have. Philippians chapter 4. We're thinking about being and truly having peace of mind. Philippians 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, be grateful. Let your requests be made known to God. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. So we must have that peace of mind through Christ. What are some other ways that we can seek to become peacemakers? We can do that by having an attitude of service. A quote from Christianity Today tells us that when we set our minds on the needs of others, it's impossible for us to be divided. And even in our churches, the wolf and the lamb and the calf and the lion can lie down together, even in our churches. Rick Warren, in his book, A Purpose-Driven Life, states it this way. Servants don't compare, criticize, or compete with other servants. They're too busy doing the work that God's given them to do. When you're busy serving, you don't have time to be critical of others. What are some other ways that we can become peacemakers? We need to strive to have the heart of a peacemaker. We need to be helping other people. We see that Paul became a peacemaker. And in a lot of his writings, he expresses how to be a peacemaker. We don't need to turn there for lack of time, but in Romans 10, Paul tells us, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. And we've talked a little bit about that today. Some things that we can do that mean a lot, small things from time to time. Offering a gesture of goodwill, a kind word, a gentle saying when someone needs a kind word. Do we go out of our way to be a peacemaker? Is it in our heart? Is it part of us? We need to understand that we're all not the same. We're all different. We're all going to view things differently. Are we going to be peacemakers with each other? Everyone loves peace, but are we a peacemaker? 2 Timothy 2 tells us to pursue peace, to be a peacemaker. Paul, we see, was a team player. We might ask ourselves, do we have the attitude of a peacemaker? And can we be peacemakers in everyday life, with our families, at work, at church? Are we in the habit of being a peacemaker? Is it on our mind? We should remind ourselves every day that we are a peacemaker and go throughout the day in that frame of mind. We should put peacemaker on our daily checklist when we get up in the morning. Let's see that over in Colossians 3. Turn with me over to the book of Colossians. Colossians 3. When I was a child, I went to a friend's house that was in the church, and for a Bible study one Sabbath afternoon, our Bible study was a matter of everyone sat in the room and he blurted out scriptures, and whoever the fastest one that could turn to the scriptures, they won the prize. And that was the Bible study. Well, I didn't win, so... All right, Colossians 3, verse 12. Talking about putting and being a peacemaker on our daily checklist. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. Be thankful. Let me back up to what we just read here. In verse 12, where it says, put on these things. It's like clothes in the morning. When you get up in the morning, put on these things. Put on being a peacemaker. We might ask ourselves, am I willing to be a peacemaker today? Every day. And that's the mindset we should start out, like putting on clothes. When we think about being a peacemaker, we can ask ourselves, can I be a peacemaker and not control my tongue? For the tongue is the number one enemy or the number one friend of being a peacemaker. It can be used either way. We can use our tongue for conflict, or we could use our tongue for making peace. We can make a point without attacking someone or increasing the level of our conflict. Solomon wrote in Proverbs 13, he who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. We can say something in a nice way. We can say something in a not so nice way. And a word can mean all the difference in the world. Zig Ziglar, a motivational speaker, put it this way. He said, you can describe somebody and say, aren't you quite the sight? Or you could say, wow, you sure are a vision. The same concept, just different words. Different words can bring peace. From time to time, conflicts will arise. But peacemakers learn to deal with the conflicts and produce a peaceful outcome. It takes humility, wisdom, diligence. It takes being at peace with yourself, living God's way of life. Let's turn with me over to the book of Luke, chapter 6. Luke, chapter 6. How can we become peacemakers? We're going to read verse 20, starting in verse 27. Luke, chapter 6, verse 27. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. And this verse here, enemies, can be translated adversary. Verse 28, bless those who curse you and pray for those who spitefully use you. We should be praying for our enemies. Turn with me over to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 12. And I'll call this God's recipe for peace. Romans 12. Even though it doesn't mention the word peace, this summarizes everything pretty much that we have gone through and talked about today. It lists it out here. It talks about God's recipe for peace, we might call it. Romans 12, we'll start in verse 9. And the heading here in this part of my chapter in my book says, behaving like a Christian. Verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. These are things we've covered today. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given the hospitality, summarizing kind of what we've gone through all to this point. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Verse 17, repay no one evil for evil. We've mentioned that already. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him drink. For so in doing, you'll heap coals of fire on his head, and maybe convert his way of thinking, and understand to God's way of thinking. Well, if we take a moment and look at a timeline or a history just for a brief moment throughout the Bible, we see conflicts and peace from one end of the Bible to the other. We see conflicts between Cain and Abel. We see unresolved conflicts from ancient times, thousands of years ago, still brewing in the world today. In some parts of the world, we see Hagar and Sarai, Abraham's wives, and we see conflicts even from that time period that the world is suffering today. We see the example of Paul, who specialized in conflicts, being converted to being a peacemaker. A complete turnaround to giving us instruction from where he stressed conflict with the brethren to one who promoted peace. Even throughout the non-believers, Paul is a good instructor of how to be peaceful. The book of Philemon tells us about tact, tells us about love, and gives us the example of being a peacemaker. It's one of the main themes throughout the Bible. And Paul taught us through his example being a peacemaker. Well, we can look forward to a world of peacemakers. And stop for a moment, if you would. Imagine a world that lives in peace. We can pray for it, we can point people towards it, and we can look forward to it. Turn with me over to the last two scriptures in the book of Isaiah as we kind of wrap things up here. Isaiah chapter 2. We've taken a brief timeline of peace and conflict throughout the Bible. Let's read about this in a future time. It's something that the world has tried and tried its best, but has failed at peace. Isaiah 2, we're going to read verse 4 here. And he shall judge between the nations and shall rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation. Neither shall they learn war, and we might add conflict, anymore. Let's back up to verse 3 and see what we have that we can be looking forward to. Many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So a very different world than what we're used to. A very different world than what we see around us today. While we're in the book of Isaiah, let's go over to chapter 11 and look at verse 6. As we picture a world of peace in the future. Isaiah 11, verse 6. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion, and the fatling together. And the little child shall lead them. A time of peace. Imagine this world. And think on this often. It will help us to be peacemakers as we look forward to this time. Peace involves acceptance, love, goodwill, reconciliation. Are we peacemakers? Do we know any peacemakers? Are we peacemakers in a world of distress and conflict? Are we personally known for being peacemakers? As a group, are we going to be known for conflict or of peace? People are going to come to God's church. They're going to walk in this door. They're going to be called by God to His church. They're going to be asking one question, is God here? And one way that we can show them is if we are peacemakers. The subject of peace is prevalent throughout God's Word. Well, today we've seen that being a peacemaker is a way of life and is a godly principle. And we can look forward to the time when Delbert and Linda will be blessing each other instead of calling each other names and cursing at each other. A time when the whole world will be peacemakers. As we find ourselves in the unpleasant situation of separation from some of our Christian brothers and sisters, let's always remember to be peacemakers. And let's remember to treat each other in a godly way and strive for reconciliation wherever possible. And as we go throughout this coming week and the weeks thereafter, let us strive to be peacemakers. And when we do, we can answer in a positive way to the question, are we peacemakers? And God will call us blessed.